like how you did that on the downbeat.
Yeah.
Because it's how I felt inside. And then you went,
I'm cheesing so hard right now.
Why are you cheesing? For the people who can't see us, they can only hear us. They can't see you cheesing, which I'm sure they can feel it. Why are you cheesing?
I'm happy to be back.
It says starting to sound like a testimony. Giving honor to God. Reverend. Happy to be here.
Right. Won't he do it?
Won't he do it? Well, it's good to see you, my brother.
You too, man.
You want to give the lay of the land?
Well, our last episode published September 2021. It is now November 2022.
But you know what, though? You know what? That, in my heart and in my soul, I believe that that can't be right. Because it certainly doesn't feel that long.
It doesn't.
There's like no way, there's no way it's been a year. It doesn't feel like a year. Does it? No.
I don't think so.
You think that's how most people think?
I don't know. We've had a couple people who've been on our heads about coming back.
Yeah. Which is, you know, honestly, it's humbling. Like it does something, like it touches the soul for somebody. Where's it at, man?
Yeah.
Can you do one this month?
Right.
Seriously, this month. At your wife's birthday party?
Yeah.
We need it this month, man.
We did. And that was the motivation we needed to get back to
That's
this.
That's all we needed. It's you all's fault.
Right. Exactly.
We're self-conscious artists too.
We accept no blame in this. None at all.
But you know what? I'll take a lot of the blame though. But I tell you what, man, like having a kid though, I mean, that is bonkers. There's no practice for that. You know what I thought? I thought that the dogs getting puppies was good practice. And it might be good practice, but it certainly is no comparison to a child.
Nothing gets you ready for the game except a game. No matter how intense you make that practice.
You're talking about practice?
It's not going to replicate the game.
Hey, man, you're right about that. That's if I may let the philosophy sneak in real quick, that's like Immanuel Kant, a priori, a posteriori knowledge. You cannot get knowledge from experience except only by the experience.
Exactly.
There's only game time knowledge is the only type of game is the only thing that'll get you game time knowledge.
Yeah.
And this game sucks.
Oh man.
No, I'm kidding. I love my daughter. I love being a dad. I love, you know, being a family guy. You know, I love it. It is work.
For sure. All right. So we owe some people some updates.
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter, Marceline, is now.
She's now one.
Now one. My daughter, Nora, is now going to be 19 months next week. So a year and a half. Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's almost.
I always struggle with. She's a little over a year and a half. I always struggle with the 18 months versus the year and a half versus, you know.
Honestly,
she's alive. That's what matters.
Yes, that's all that matters. Honestly, who can keep track of months? To me, that's like Celsius and Fahrenheit. It's like it involves too much to even think about. 18 months, it's almost, I would just say almost two.
Yeah.
She's almost two. Do you think people hang on to the months after 2 years?
No, I think it's done.
So once you get to two, you just start going years.
If you're going around saying, oh, my child is 28 months.
Get a job.
Right. You got way too much time on your hands.
Get a hobby. Kidding. Well, congratulations on 18 months. That's a feat, man. I see you all are the benchmark for us. You're the reference. You're the city on the hill. You're the model. You're the exemplar. We're like, if we do what they're doing, then we're in good shape.
I mean, you know, I put my shoes on one at a time, just like everyone else. You know, I try to be humble.
I thought we was all there.
I thought everybody was putting on this shoe one at a time. You know, I try to be humble. You know, am I going to say I'm the best dad in the world? I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to let other people say it. You know?
But you should read this card I got. It says best dad in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to say it, but my coffee mug will say it. No, man, it's a feat. It's a feat. It's an adjustment, and then it's a feat to keep that baby alive and happy and healthy.
Yeah.
And, you know, most credit to mom. It all goes to mom.
I mean, in all honesty, I'm not really doing anything.
Yeah, you ever like do a group presentation and like you didn't do anything, yeah. but like oh, you're yeah. the one who bows when the class applauses?
I've got many A's that way. Many A's. Just showing up.
It carries over.
No, I mean, you know, Emily's been killing and she's a great mom, and I just do whatever I'm told to do.
It is so, I was going to say neat, but that's not the right word. I'm searching for the right word, but to see your partner come into motherhood and be good at it, like
killing
it's something magical about it. And the first instance of that I saw was after Marcy was born. So they had to take the baby to a separate room, do all the measurements stuff. So I went the nurse
right.
to do that while they were getting Amanda situated.
Same for me. Yeah.
And so they're measuring her and all that and cleaning her up. And they're finally like, you want to come hold her, dad? And I go hold her and she starts crying. Not because of me, but you know, she's fresh to the world,
right.
But she's crying and hollering. And then Amanda's finally ready. And they're like, you know, you want to take her over to see mom? And so the baby's screaming at this point. And I bring her over to Amanda. And as soon as she like touches her face, like the baby's face touches Amanda's face, she stops crying and opens her eyes. And I was like, that's the most magical Hallmark thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's beautiful.
And then they asked me to leave. But ever since then, it's just like, wow, like there's something unique to motherhood. That's that a posteriori knowledge, that game time knowledge that we won't have as guys.
Yeah.
Except for if you're, unless you're a male seahorse.
Maybe.
Yeah. We should ask them.
I see it in many ways, how Emily's just killing it. One that's top of mind for me, we're going out of town this weekend, and the fact that she has a list on her phone of all the things that we need to pack when we go out of town.
Oh, how adult is that?
For Nora, it's remarkable.
It's longer than our list.
Yeah, because like I didn't go to work today, so she was like, hey, get Nora stuff ready for the trip. I was like, done, I got you. Can you share the list though? Of what I don't know what to pack.
Can you tell me what to do?
And I'm looking at the list, and it's just like, oh yeah, diapers. I didn't think about. No, I'm just playing. But it's just like, you know, all these things on there, and it's just like, oh, that's so smart to have that list.
Yeah, yeah. Thank God you're here.
Yeah,
you keep the baby alive and me.
Right. Yeah.
How many things do you think was on that list,
bro?
Oh, you got the list.
I got the list. I think it's been an evolving list from, you know, the moment she was born, the first time we went out of town to now, and it's a pretty decent sized list here. You can see it.
Oh, you get check marks next to stuff?
Yeah.
Like you checked it off as you did it?
She's legit.
Can I have that list actually?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
For sure. Like
we'll post it in the description. It's a really good list.
It's good stuff. Just like things have also changed as Nora gets older. You know, she's older now. Mm-hmm. She needs to be entertained more. So, you know, like crayons and paper and stickers, books, things that I don't think about. I would bring one toy.
Yeah.
One toy.
And be done.
And be done.
One toy, five Cheez-Its, and halfway through the trip, you're...
Exactly.
Right.
Then I'm that guy on the plane pissing everybody off, you know, so...
Oh, speaking of planes, man, Marcy's traveled a lot as a kid, more than I did until I was like a teenager.
Oh, wow.
But we took this, and she's been great on flights. She either falls asleep or she loves waving at people. She's so amicable. But one flight we took, they clearly put all the kids in the same section because it was us, a mom in front of us, and then... a newborn, like two rows behind us. But the mom in front of us, bro, she had, I think she had three or four kids. And one of them was around one or two and had a car seat. And so she's already huffing and puffing, getting on. Dad split up and took two of the older kids up there, and okay, she was over okay. here. So she does all this work to get the car seat situated and gets the kid in there. The kid's already fussy and wants to be entertained. And the flight attendant comes back and goes, yeah, you don't have that seat. Like the kid was a lap child, but she had set up the car seat in the seat.
Oh,
and
man.
So like her deflated.
Yeah.
You ever like pop, like yeah. her face deflated.
Yeah.
And then, so now she's huffing and puffing, trying to undo this car seat. She has to check it. Well, I can't believe I paid. And so already stressed, like started the flight stressed. They finally get the car seat off, and then the kid has to sit in her lap, and he screams the entire flight. And I mean like, Imagine the trope in movies of a bad kid on a plane.
Right, right, right.
Worse than that.
Oh, my gosh.
This kid screamed the whole time. And so when we got off the plane and finally got there, everybody hated her. And you could see her feel that.
Oh, man.
You know how like you hold a mirror and the sun burns ants?
Yeah,
could feel it. People hating her, the being like she was the ant. But and then the cherry on top is Marcy was perfect. And so like she's the real head of us, and we're all standing up when the ding goes off to get our luggage, and we're waiting to go off, and people are going to us, "Your baby's so beautiful. She's great. She's perfect." And it seared that other mom even more. I felt so bad for her.
You know, Nora's been on a couple flights, and it's 50-50. The first one was great. The second one, I don't know. I don't know if she's going to go on a plane for a while. I don't know what they thought about us. It was like, you know. So I get it, but that does suck. Yeah. That is, you know. How am I supposed to know how the kid's supposed to act?
Yeah.
Or is going to act?
Yeah, I mean, there's also like the physiological stuff going on, like your ears and air pressure and you're hungry and all that. And then also, airplanes are where like humanity gets particularly weird. Like something about restaurants and also airplanes like make you act differently.
And elevators. Yeah.
Elevators. Yeah. That's some cool like social phenomena going on there.
Yeah. I was a social major.
Oh, were you? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What's up with getting on an elevator and then like standing the opposite direction towards people? Like, why is that weird?
You know, one of my favorite things to do is when I get on an elevator to stand very close to someone and face them directly.
They're like, am I about to get murdered?
And just make people feel uncomfortable. No, I mean, you know, we as people have these natural inclinations. Like
right.
We have a certain actual proximity of personal space that we want. And when people invade that personal space, when there clearly is more space, we automatically feel uncomfortable.
Right. Right. Evolutionarily. You know.
Yeah. It was societal norm that goes unspoken, you know, but I don't know. I didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And also, who farted in this elevator?
Right. All right. Who had the Brussels sprouts?
Speaking of farts, man, these diapers are getting gnarly. Like, these diapers are getting crazy.
We bought a new diaper pill this week because...
Is it
a
Ubi?
No, we didn't get the Ubi, but we got the one with the Armor Strong deodorizer in it because...
You open that pail up and it punches you in the face.
It stays in the room for a long time. For a very long time.
What is that about stench?
I don't know.
Like what is stank? Is it like particles floating through the air?
I don't know.
Or we have the Ubi. You know, they sell the Ubi as like the only steel diaper holder.
The steel pail. Yeah.
And it does good until all the diapers are mainly poop.
Yeah.
Then you need the Arm & Hammer.
I just put Nora outside in the backyard. Come back when
learn.
You learn. Figure it out. But you know. We're here, and we're trying to make it work. At the end of the day, that's the most important thing. I guess my question for you, though, you know, because we're catching up as of sorts. And are you still married? Like, has Amanda left you yet, or are y'all good?
Well, let me text her real quick and find out. As of now, we're good. I you know
perfect.
That's why I give so much credit to wifey and mom, because like she's the reason we're all alive. If it were up to me, like there, I don't know, man. We'd be, you know, we'd be on the news. You know, it's like,
oh yeah, like the Florida people.
Yeah, we'd be in
Florida, man.
Yeah, man. I sure appreciate, baby. I love you. If you listen to this, if at all you're listening to this, I love you. Thank you. Happy anniversary. Yeah. No, we're still together. I feel like, you know, a lot of people. You know, COVID was its own thing.
Yes.
In terms of like, you know, being in, to speak of proximity on the elevator, man. COVID was the elevator for everybody.
Yo, some people's relationships ended that like first day.
Didn't survive the elevator.
No.
Don't look, you're looking at me too close. You're looking at me wrong.
Like, oh, I didn't notice that you do this all the time.
See, that's fascinating. I wonder like, you know, this chart you brought up a minute ago, like the research, that's like you spend more time alone as you get older, less time with family members. Like, if there was a graph of COVID, like, you spent probably double more time with your partner and then had the opportunity to notice more things.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, I feel like I caused more things than I've noticed.
Which is why I asked the question, if y'all were still together.
Yeah, we're still together, man.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good to hear.
I mean, I try to, you know, if I can just, like, crack a joke or just, like, you know, cause a smile to happen, then it like goes a long way.
And you're good for a week.
And you know one thing I've noticed about Amanda though? Like, she's funny. Like, she'll crack a joke and like just catches me off guard. Like, I've had a couple spit takes with her. How like long, that's a good laugh. Like, if you spit out water.
How long y'all been together? Like, from the first date?
Oh Lord, from the first date? Well, So his official sophomore year at college, started college 2008, 2009, right?
2009.
So how many years is that? By the way, I skipped math on the GRE. Totally skipped it. I gave up on it after middle school.
This section is optional, right?
Yes. Yeah. They were like, what are you doing over there? You're supposed to be testing. 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. So 18.
I like how you use your fingers.
Yeah, man. It's
smart. It's smart. So 18 years, and you just realized that she's funny?
Well, no, I think I knew. Well, I knew she was funny because that's one of the things that I liked about her. Like, I knew she was going to be a good mom,
right?
And she was smart, and she made me laugh. And maybe part of the realization during COVID that she was funny, like, has to do with like my own career. Because I've been writing more lately and like working on different stuff. And so like I fancy myself as a funny person.
Right, right, right.
But then she'll have a punchline that's like as clever or unexpected as like I would have. And I've been like, well, damn, you are funny.
Yeah.
So I knew she was funny, but like maybe I'm just realizing I'm not funny. Like maybe it's just a.
No, I think both of you can be funny at the same time. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, Yeah. I was thinking about like being funny at each other's expenses. Yeah. Like how that's like a cheap route into comedy.
That's love.
Right. Well, if you can handle it. Yeah, like if you that's can. True. That's you true. Don't get pissed off about it.
Right.
Do you and Emily crack jokes on each other? Or like does playing the dozens or like putting each other on blast? Like does.
Oh, I would never do that. Right. Would never put Emily on blast. Not at all.
But I feel like I could be wrong here, but I feel like the girls put us on blast. Like.
Oh, for sure.
Like when we link up, that's like the first chance they can get. It's coming out.
I've given a lot of material for Emily to make fun of me. A lot. And she uses it sometimes, for sure.
Right.
Do I ever make fun of her? No.
Yeah, that would be...
No. I'm scared.
Chernobyl, right.
Yeah. I think I need to check in and see how we're doing because I got in trouble this morning. I felt it. She didn't say anything, but I felt it.
Now, that's some deep stuff, man. It's deep when you don't have to be told.
Yeah. She was getting Nora ready for daycare this morning, and I was trying to get some Jordans. And I was downloading.
Time out. Play some music, something.
I was downloading the sneakers app
and
the
Foot
Locker app, you know, trying to get these Air Jordan 1 Chicagos. She was like, oh, can you throw these diapers away? I was like, yeah, I got you. She's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm just checking something. And she walked past me and saw me trying to get some Jordans. And then I was like, all right, I'm done. I can help with whatever you need help with. I'm sorry. So, that's my bad. I didn't get the shoes. So
needless to say.
I didn't get the shoes. So,
The other day, I think Amanda came home from working all day late. And we gave her the baby bath. And I was like, okay, I'll put her to sleep. And she's like, I got to feed her first. So let me go feed her first. And so while she was feeding her, I went to the bathroom. You know, when you're in the bathroom, you do your best work. You scroll and get distracted.
Yeah.
So when I'd finished in the bathroom, I distracted, went over to my computer in the kitchen and like caught up on an email and then got distracted and then we started doing this. And then the next thing I know, she's coming around the corner holding the baby, just like, no words. And I was like, ooh, I'm deep. And so it's a wonder they stay with us. It really is a wonder they stay with us.
Yeah.
Like in a to our earlier point about like social and evolutionary customs and all that stuff, like this would be worth putting up with if we were the hunter gatherers and like had and brought the food home and did all that, but we don't even do that. So why do they stay with us?
No. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think it's because I'm taller than him and I reach the tall things in the top shelf.
Well, you know what?
I think that's why I'm still around, is to help get the things at the top shelf. She's been trying to get a stool in the kitchen for a while.
And it's over.
And I'm saying no. I was like, nah, we don't need it. I got you. She's like, what do I do if you're not here? You wait. You wait for me to come home. You don't need a stool. That's my job.
Every time you're in Costco, you keep taking stools out of the cart.
Right. I purposely put certain things that I know she needs on the top shelf, so she has to call me to get
salvage
it.
The relationship.
Exactly.
I need
just a reminder, damn, I do need this guy around.
He is important.
Yeah.
If it weren't for those, those Trader Joe's and Costco snacks on the top shelf and for the occasional laugh, we'd be done.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. We'd only have each other.
We'd be out the game.
Yes.
Or back in the game, close, actually.
Yeah.
Out of our homes and back in the streets.
We'd be out the homes and moving in together. Exactly. We'd be roommates.
Oh, we would be. Actually, it does sound pretty nice.
Just intentionally just
sabotage our relationship so we could be roommates.
Guess I got to move in with Tim.
Uh-huh. You forced this upon us.
And we could podcast all the time.
And then we wouldn't have over a year plus hiatus.
Yeah. Well, that's the only way to be consistent is to send those kids off with somebody else.
Right.
It's like more work keeping up with them the older they get, too. They're moving around, and you got to, like, chase them. And
I thought we've done our jobs already. I think, like, they're good.
Yeah, they're ready for...
That first year is, you know, crucial. And after that, they pretty much kind of raise themselves, don't they?
You'd hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, they're, you know, they're also a handful. I mean, they're lucky they're cute.
That's very true. Our daughters are adorable.
Tall, athletic. Your baby real tall.
She is.
Yeah, man, it's going to be, we're in for it. At least we got each other. Yeah. But our wives have not left us.
No, we're good.
We're good. On that note, take a quick break.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with more stuff. Hey, do you ever see like those ASMR channels on YouTube? No. It's like people eating food or like there's, it doesn't matter what you do. There's some sort of satiation with sound itself. Like there's a bunch of YouTube channels where like it doesn't require even talent necessarily. Like you'll be slurping noodles or flipping pages in a book or touching, you know? Yeah, there's channels of that.
You watch those?
Well, you know, sometimes you're like scrolling through the algorithm, YouTube Shorts, and trying to figure out who you are.
Right.
And sometimes it'll suggest something random. So I did watch a noodle video, liked it, and then it suggested a, you know.
Do you feel that your either YouTube story feed or Google, you know, article suggestion feed is a representation, like an accurate representation of who you are as a person?
No. I'll give an example. We have YouTube synced up to our TV. Okay. And it's my YouTube account.
Right.
And so anytime we Google something or YouTube something for the baby to watch, like my history's there too. And I go on tangents, you know, like I'm looking for inspiration most of the time. It'll be a Joe Rogan clip and then a guy who lives in his canoe and then a guy who cooks out in the wilderness and then a girl who has the record for eating the most pasta in an hour. Like it's the most random stuff. And like, I always have like a tinge of self-consciousness when that pops up on the TV.
Yeah.
Like when we're like, cause it'd be me, Amanda, granddad sitting there. And I'm like, that's not me.
That's not me.
And it could be way worse.
You know, for me, it's even when I'm by myself, on the Google app on my phone, I just read the articles or at least the headlines that are there. And some article headlines, I'm like, is this me? Like, it's like, oh, watch this person's red carpet outfit. I'm like, I don't, why?
You think that's me?
That's me? Right. Am I that person?
Who do you think is consuming this?
Yeah. And then I'll click on it just to see what the outfit was.
And then I'll really enjoy the article. welcome back, man. How's life? What's coming up? What's going on?
Yeah, we got Thanksgiving coming up, man.
Next already?
Week? Yeah. That's what happens when we take a year off to do a podcast.
Man, I feel like life now is just like the seminal tentpole things. It's like the baby showers, the birthdays, and the holidays.
Yeah,
and between those, just everything else in between,
it's irrelevant.
Damn, so Thanksgiving's coming up.
Coming up, man. I feel like we've had some really good Thanksgiving episodes. We talked about, I don't know if they were directly aligned to Thanksgiving, but we talked about the desserts, the black dessert versus the non-black desserts. Peach cobbler versus red velvet, which started a whole thing.
By the way, the best banana pudding is downtown LA at Little Jewel in New Orleans.
Really?
You just wanted to drop that. Yeah, we should get paid for that, for mentioning that.
You could pay me in banana pudding. I'll take that.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice if you like barter for your salary and like you know, like, give me some of it money and then some of it banana pudding.
I do that. I do that. But yeah, Thanksgiving's coming up. I feel like this is a very a crucial time for a lot of people who are in relationships. Like, this might be the first time people are meeting, you know, their significant other's parents, or more importantly, this might be the first time that they're making a dish for someone else. And I feel like you can really, like,
it's make or break.
It's make or break, bro. Like, if someone, like, if you make something bad, like, you're forever going to be known as the guy who brought the mashed potatoes with raisins in it.
I was about to say, depends on the culture now.
Yeah, that one was for a specific group.
If you bring in the... if you're, you know, if you're bringing over, you know, the potato salad, or if you're bringing mac and cheese to, you know, people who only season their noodles with hot water and nothing, then it'll be a hit. But, you know, you bring them raisins and olives and all sorts of stuff. Yeah. By the way, what's the most obscure thing you've had in, like, potato salad or coleslaw?
Oh,
I had grapes in something once, and I was like,
I have had that.
Mm-mm.
No. I have had that.
Don't do that.
I just don't like macaroni and cheese that hasn't been put in the oven. Like,
what?
You need the crisp. Like, it needs to be baked.
Who don't put it in the oven?
I don't know, man.
People. Don't do that. Hey, listen, if you're making something for a family that you're meeting for the first time, I mean, you got to, like, treat it like a, you know, like a job interview.
It's a job interview. I was just going to say, it is.
You got to show up dressed, you know?
It's like Eminem. You got one shot, one opportunity.
Yes. Otherwise, it'll be like later in the verse where the spaghetti's all over his mom and he's nervous. Just got mom's spaghetti or whatever the line is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Life is an Eminem song.
It really is. Lose yourself.
If you were going to meet, let's start here. You remember your first meetings with your partner's family and vice versa?
Yes.
And then which was more, which was easier? Like, who had the easier time?
Oh, me meeting her family was easier. Right? Yeah.
You think that's just due to, like, charisma and just general kind of, like, personality? Or
no, my dad is.
No, my dish was really good.
No, my dad's Nigerian, mm-hmm. and Emily's white.
Mm-hmm.
And
what?
Yeah, if you didn't know. My dad is a lot. And if you don't know him, if you've never met him, if you don't understand him, it can be a very traumatizing experience.
Now, I don't mean to interrupt at all. We went to Puerto Rico recently, and we took our grandparents, and my dad met some college friends of mine. And I swear to God, in the first 10 seconds of my dad meeting college friends, some of them looked at me and said, I get it. I explains a lot about you.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, but maybe that's a preacher thing. It also is Nigerian.
I think it's all of that. My dad's a pastor. He's Nigerian. It's all of it combined. Yeah. It was like a 45-minute talk. Emily didn't say a thing. I'm sitting there just on my phone because I'm used to this. Normal for me. Yeah. I'm laughing. And he's just like, making these weird analogies and talking about children and 10 years from now and things that I'm just like, this is the first time that they're meeting.
What you were dating at that point?
Yeah. Yeah.
And where was this at?
My dad's living room.
Wow. So she came over your dad's living room. Brought her over to your dad's living room.
Yeah. That was my first mistake. Yeah. I mean, I had delayed it long enough. They needed to meet. And I knew that, like, if we don't get past this, like, relationship is not going to work.
And what was her reaction afterwards?
So we left. We went to the grocery store afterwards, and I went into, like, process and see how she was doing. And she was just like, "No, I need time." She was like, "Just give me time."
Not well.
She just needed some time to, you know, to really intake everything that just happened. And then after a while, she's like, "To your point," she's like, "All right, I get it. I get why you're that way." And I was like, "That's my life." So, yeah, that's fine.
Now, I don't want to misspeak at all, but I'll try. So this realization of, I get it, that our spouses and friends have had after meeting our parents, right?
Right.
To me, I could be misreading this, but prior to what they're saying when they say, I get it now, is actually saying, before this experience, I thought you were a lot. I thought you were an asshole. I thought you were condescending. I thought you were something.
Right.
But now after this experience, seeing from where you derive, you weren't that thing that I thought you were. But You think some of that's there? Like what did they think we were before?
Right, and that's the question. Because clearly they had like, man, there's right. something off about this person
right.
beforehand. And now that they've met our parents, and now they're like, oh.
Right.
It makes sense now. Well, was that it?
Yeah, I wonder.
What was off about me? I don't know.
Well, I think it's, but there's something like with the preacher kid thing. Like, I think it's just, I don't know, something about like the orality of church, being in front of people, being musicians. That has a lot to do with like what could be considered like boisterous or too confident or something.
You and I have so much in common.
Yeah.
Both sons of pastors.
Mm-hmm.
Both played instruments for the choir.
Both on the margins of our relation. I'm kidding.
Right.
Both on the verge of getting broken up with.
Yeah. Both creatives.
Mm-hmm. Both hilarious.
I mean.
Both good looking.
That's a given.
You know.
Both Leos.
Both Leos. And that has something to do with it too.
Oh yeah. You know, but that says a lot about our wives. Because we're a lot. We really are a lot.
And yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
not everyone can handle all this.
Yeah. That's That's a good point. I'll take it. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, this is better than like paying for therapy, I think.
You're good,
I get it. I'm a lot. Thanks, man.
Yeah, man. You ain't got to change yourself with nobody.
You got to lose yourself. All right, so she met your dad and had to decompress, and then after that it was...
We were okay from there.
And what about you meeting her family?
I compare it to Get Out. No, I'm just playing. I'm playing.
Have you heard of Jordan Peele?
I tried to make that joke once, and then Emily's like, you met my family before that movie came out. I was like, you're right. You're right. It was not.
I'm the basis of Get Out.
But it was fine.
Well, what was your holiday experience? Like, what was, like, do you remember the first Christmas or? Because I do think, like, when I met Amanda's family, like, it had to be around, like, the breaks because we were in college.
Right.
So you only go home spring break and then Christmas break. So I do feel like it was a holiday thing.
Yeah.
And so I don't remember exactly, but I do remember trying to speak Spanish and, you know, wasn't the best, still not the best, but I remember like trying to speak Spanish with her grandma and then not getting something right or asking for it again one too many times. And then in Spanish, she turned to the person next to her and was like, he don't know what he's talking about. And I was like, I know that. I got that. I still understand. I just can't speak it back fast enough.
Right.
But like, there was like, that used to make me nervous. Spanish in general made me nervous. Like ordering some tacos on the corner made me nervous. Something about, you know, you got to release yourself to learn a language, I feel like. And part of it was that. But then part of it is also like the pressure of like meeting a family and wanting to like live up to and like fit in. And
yeah, I feel like it's the effort that counts a lot of times. And, you know, the fact that you try, I think, is good.
Well, not in this case. Not with the grandma.
Oh, grandma.
It was like 90 degrees. You know, like about face. And
yeah.
No, but just why, it was
turned
like,
away.
He don't know. And I was like, well, I understood that part.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's so weird. And around the holiday time, it's just unique and different. And, you know, mm-hmm. you're seeing people in different spaces. What do y'all do for Thanksgiving? Like, typically, like, when you lived with your families, did you go over to, did she come to your families? Did you go to hers? Did you guys split time? What do y'all do around the holidays, at least Thanksgiving?
Well, growing up, our house was the Christmas house. And so everybody eventually made it over to our house. Thanksgiving, I think we'd hit Grandma Annie's. And then the other grandmas.
Okay.
And so if it was Christmas, it was probably over my place. Except for this time I'm recalling with the Spanish or something. Like maybe that year I went up there with her.
Yeah, switched it up.
Right. But mainly Christmas was like ours, like over our place growing up.
Yeah.
This Thanksgiving, I'm actually not sure what we're doing. And I don't remember last Thanksgiving either. I just know like, I remember we did our own thing like the past couple New Year's Eves.
Okay.
We like had some confetti or something or like went outside and then just like went to sleep. Because yeah. I always wake up top of the morning on New Year's Day to watch that Rose Bowl parade. That's my thing.
Is that because you were in a band and you know, parades and performances are...
That's a good question.
It's a thing for you?
I think it's my thing. Yeah, it's my thing. That's a good question. I didn't think about that. I do love that Rose Bowl parade though.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, the holidays are, they're good testing moments for a lot of relationships, for people who are, you know, either out the game or, you know, trying to get out the game or still dating, so on and so forth. You know, you're seeing how the other family is, you're seeing how they mesh with you, how the food is, you know, what are the customs. It's all interesting.
Yeah, the customs are, you know, maybe the biggest adjustment. You're gaining that a posteriori knowledge, but the food, man, if you're going to make a dish, you know, just don't be ambitious.
You got to come correct.
Yeah, come with something you know.
Yeah. You got to try it out first, like on your own. You can't come with something you never tried before. Or don't go too over the top and be like, oh, I'm going to throw this thing in here to really make it stand out. Now, if it don't belong in there, don't put it in there.
Yeah, you got to know your audience.
Yes.
You know, don't bring the great potato salad to a black cookout.
Right.
And maybe don't bring something that's not spicy to, like, the Mexican gathering.
Yeah.
You know, like, know the audience.
No bland stuff.
But bro, I went over a friend's house for Thanksgiving. I'm not going to even name the ethnicity or race or anything, but went over a friend's house for Thanksgiving in high school once.
We'll probably figure it out, but go ahead.
Bro, I think they had a turkey, sure, mashed potatoes from the store, and spaghetti that was noodles straight out the pot and then ragu poured on top. And that's it. Now I'm not saying it to guess, but, like, it was bland. I was like, damn, this is Thanksgiving.
I feel kind of bad for that person.
Well, here's the thing. I don't, you know, talk about, like normative behavior, like things that you, like, we don't really perceive the things that are normal. I think for them it was just
that's regular. Just what it is.
Yeah, they didn't know to dislike
it. I get, that's true. Because when I tell people who aren't black what we eat at Thanksgiving, they're like, wow, all of that? And I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, we've actually cut down the menu a little bit over the past few years, bro. We have turkey, ham, mac and cheese, broccoli casserole,
yams, sweet potatoes,
multiple pans of dressing, cornbread and sausage. In addition to the stuffing and dressing are two different things, just so people know.
Did you say rolls?
And then I'm sure there's more stuff.
And then there's a salad, dessert table.
And then there's a whole table for dessert. Couple cheesecakes, couple apple pies, one pumpkin for that person, and then sweet potato pie for everyone else. Also pound cake, also peach cobbler.
Oh, I remember when I learned that pound cake was a pound of everything.
Yeah. That's why it's so good.
That might be my favorite dessert, pound cake.
Really?
I think so.
It's interesting.
Might be. But that seems like a good thing to make. If you're showing up, like a nice ubiquitous thing to make, that's impressive. It don't matter where you're showing up, you show up with a good pound cake.
You're winning.
I think if anybody's meeting somebody for the first time, significant other, family, show up with a pound cake.
And if they don't like pound cake, you in the wrong family.
Oh yeah, that's your indication.
That's when you gotta just go and be like, all right, I'm out, y'all.
Either way, I'm gonna bounce. Either way, pound cake is gonna make or break relationship. You should try it. Go for it.
There you go. If you don't know what to bring, bring a pound cake. And if they don't like it, they don't deserve you.
That's right, king. That's right, queen.
You could do better.
And you take your pound cake right back home and enjoy that by yourself. And wake up and watch the Rose Bowl parade.
I know what Gene's about to go do.
My brother, good to see you, man.
Bro, it's been too long.
Apparently a year.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Likewise, man.
You're a good daddy, man.
You too, man.
Oh, stop.
Oh.
Podcast is brought to you by Tim and Jeannie. If you like it, if you have the side effects, may include this. Like, rate, review, and subscribe. Okay, love you. Bye.